Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Canto 1, Chapter 6, Text 24. Matir mayi napadyeyam nabipadyeta karhichit prajasarga nirodhepi smritischa mad anugrahat matir mayi napadyeyam Navi padyeta karhichit. Praja sargandarodhipi. Smritischa mad anugrahat. Translation: intelligence engaged in my devotion cannot be thwarted at any time, even at the time of creation, as well as at the time of annihilation. Your remembrance will continue by my mercy. And purport by Srila Prabhupada. Devotional service rendered to the personality of Godhead never goes in vain. Since the personality of Godhead is eternal, intelligence applied in his service or anything done in his relation is also permanent. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is said that such transcendental service rendered unto the personality of Godhead accumulates birth after birth, and when the devotee is fully matured, the total service counted together makes him eligible to enter into the association of the personality of Godhead. Such accumulation of God's service is never vanquished, but increases till fully matured. Matir mayi nabadheyam na vipadyeta karhichit. Praja sarga nirodhepi smritischa madanugrahat. Translation: intelligence engaged in my devotion cannot be thwarted at any time, even at the time of creation, as well as at the time of annihilation. Your remembrance will continue by my mercy. This is the personality of Godhead speaking. It's like Bhagavad Gita, where the personality of Godhead is speaking. And that means it's absolute. It's not someone's opinion. It's absolute. There's four verses here where this is the final of the four. The scene is the personality of Godhead appeared and then disappeared. Narada was still very young, and as it's spoken here, not matured, but the personality of Godhead was appreciating his strong sincerity and his strong desire and his sincere effort, and so he appeared before him and then he disappeared in his like Dhruva, when the Lord appeared within his heart and then disappeared and appeared before him, and they had their exchange. Only this was less matured to encourage Narada, or in his previous life, Narada. And then he spoke several verses. You're actually not eligible, but I appeared just to encourage you. And the encouragement was, having once seen me, your desire will intensify. And when desire, this is important, when desire to be in a relationship with the personality of Godhead intensifies, material desire is dissipated. That's two verses previously. And then, in the immediate previous verse, he introduces the term that's in this verse, matir, intelligence, and it's specific. It's dridha mati. So the Lord says, even a few days of devotional service is sufficient. Of course, it depends on how we apply ourselves, but it's sufficient to develop dridha mati, firm, fixed intelligence. And not only material desires start to fade, but you become eligible to become one of my eternal associates. And give up this not very attractive, deplorable material world. Worlds, plural. Now this one. Again, mati. This intelligence is very special. There's nothing material that can check it. We find similar language in the second chapter, right, of the Bhagavatam, where ahoitaki apratiyataya yatma supersedati, devotional service unto the personality of Godhead, when, like the condition is, when it's exclusive, that is, without the calculation or the motivation that says either one of two things. I want fruitive activities, or I want knowledge that I acquire by my speculative power. Note that those two things have a very strong hold on conditioned souls. Note that even when we come to devotional service, those tendencies have a very strong hold on us because we're conditioned souls. Fruitive intention drives the conditioned soul. We're conditioned souls. So we take that baggage with us into this realm of devotional service, thinking fruitive activity. The components of fruitive activity are, I'm going to do it. Like, you know, passion. Ardent endeavor to achieve something. That's the carrot. We want to achieve. I'm going to achieve something. And it's on the street. It's like karmakanda. I'm going to achieve something. It's like the center is me. And it's my endeavor. I'm going to achieve something. That's fruitive activity. And so it's on my side, and then it's, you know, what I'm going to get. Because when one has fruitive intention, according to Rishabhdev, one's mind becomes colored. And so even that thing that we want is colored. You know, we don't have the sense of pure love, where the real goal is love of God. Just loving the personality of Godhead, being in a position of service to the personality of Godhead. That's not the fruitive intention goal, although one may even have that rattling around in their vocabulary somewhere. That's not what's in the heart. What's in the heart is, you know, colored. Like, you know, I did it. That's one of the things. Or, you know, I don't have this stuff anymore. That's one of the things. You know, release from the sojourn of material existence, the liberation. Bhukti or mukti? or siddhi. Those bhukti mukti siddhi kami sakale ashanta. Those three make one's heart unsettled, not peaceful. So how do you stay with this dridha mati if you have all that material stuff going on? The answer is you can't. It's unsteady. Anishtita bhakti. Intermittent. Stop, start. You know, strong, weak. We're not steady until those impurities are taken away. And then one can have this dridha mati, fixed intelligence. So what is that? What is that intelligence? It's do a little compare and contrast. Material intelligence is a faculty given by the material energy to assist the conditioned soul to acquire the objects that the conditioned soul thinks this is going to make me happy. That's material intelligence. That's what universities are for. Not just universities, you know, the education system is to develop material intelligence so you can get things that are out there that are meant to bring happiness, material happiness, and then you can get a job because you got a degree, so you can get objects out there and, you know, have a living, live comfortably, material intelligence. Spiritual intelligence, or real intelligence, the intelligence is being spoken of over here in this verse, is a different kind. What's that kind? Krishna gives that description in Bhagavad Gita. The intelligence by which you can come to me. Yena mamupi antite. And Krishna, you can't get that at a university. You can't get it at a supermarket or, you know, it's not available in the marketplace. It's available by one source. Krishna gives it. And he has a qualifier. He says who he gives it to. He gives it to those who are very faithfully and consistently engaged in my devotional service. I give them the intelligence by which they can come to me. That's the kind of intelligence that's being spoken of. And that intelligence, this verse is saying, that intelligence is not thwarted by anything. It's not, nor is it created by anything material. It's not blocked or checked by anything material. And he gives two examples, sarga and nirodhe, creation, annihilation. Just because I've recently been through it, I'll share a little experience. A devotee in America completed his career, his daughter became married, his wife was somewhere, and he retired from his job. He had a very good job. He was an architect and had like 20 people working under him. He's a very qualified person. And he wanted to, you know, be a Hare Krishna devotee. You know, his vanaprastha stage. So he became involved in the temple, got his bhakti shastri training, became the temple president. Name is Rupa Sanatan. Seven years, he served as a temple president. He then found out he had cancer. And he had several operations to remove the cancer of a particular type, and he was fine for a while, and then it started developing again, and then he got a second type of cancer in another part of his body, and they told him that this is a type of cancer, we can't do anything about it, you know, you have maybe a few months. 62 years old, very enthusiastic, very, you know, exemplary devotee, very strong willed, very determined. And then his body started to dwindle and dwindle and dwindle. And so we made an arrangement for him to go to the Vrindavan hospice. Somebody traveled with him, and he made it to the Vrindavan hospice. And prior to that, it was difficult for him even to speak. So there was a devotee attending to him, and they were chanting japa just by his side as he was lying there chanting japa. And his mouth was moving a little bit, but he couldn't make the sound. And then he turned after some time and smiled and said, I'm stealing your japa. I hope you don't mind. Very softly, because he could barely speak. And so I'm at the GBC meeting wishing to be with this devotee because he's a very dear devotee. And so I contacted the doctor who was in his care, overseeing his care at the hospice. And I said, I'd like to come. Should I come? And he said, well, he was doing fine. He was even walking around. But all of a sudden, that energy level dropped and he's been unconscious for a day and a half. So I'll monitor, I'll let you know. And three and a half days, he was unconscious. So he said, I think what's best, coming and going in consciousness, I think you just, when he's conscious, I'll have you speak to him. His eyes are open and, at least facial expressions, he couldn't say anything, but facial expressions he could acknowledge. His eyes would open and, like that was a smile. The face is the index to the mind. So we did that. And then he became unconscious again after some time. And then I got another call saying his vitals are going down rapidly. It's only a matter of short time. And so you can speak with him. His eyes are open. So we had, no discussion, but said a number of things, and they had moved him from his hospice room to what they call the Back to Godhead room. In other facilities, they call it the terminal room. Means it's bigger, so that devotees can come and have kirtan. So that was the situation. 25 devotees, Panchagoda, the temple president, was singing, Govinda was playing mridanga, and 23 other people in the room just having kirtan, robust kirtan. And he couldn't move his body except his finger. He could move his finger, so his finger was going with it, indicating he was hearing the kirtan and appreciating that his constant. So how do you, all of that is background, how do you smritischa? How do you fix your remembrance of Krishna at the time of death? Ain't easy. Try to do it when you're healthy. Just sit in a kirtan and have your mind go nowhere but the holy name. Try it. We try it. Ain't easy, right? So what to speak of? Pain, fear, attachment. Who's going to look after the temple? Etc. Who's going to look after my daughter? Whatever, attachment. And you can't do it. Frustration. You can't do anything. Depleted energy. No strength. What's left? How strong is your mind? Or, and behind that, how strong is your intelligence? to direct the mind. And what's behind that is how strong is your desire to be with Krishna? So I was thinking to do two things with two additional things with this verse. One is because it mentions sarga, that's creation, and creation is a big topic in the whole of the Srimad Bhagavatam, and I've been lately studying the very complex Sri Brahma Samhita, because it's a map to understand the whole Srimad Bhagavatam, and sarga and visarga both are presented in a nutshell in Sri Brahma Samhita, and so I want to go there a little bit to appreciate what the Lord is saying to Narada. So in the process of sarga is what Mahavishnu does to prepare for the creation, and visarga is what Brahma does to put it all together. So on the sarga part, you can look it up later. Canto 3, chapter 5, text 24, if my memory is right, there's a verse where Lord Vishnu says, it's his contemplation, his inner thought process or contemplation prior to creation. It's in between one creation and the next creation, because it's an ongoing process, cyclical process. He's considering two things essentially. My Chaya Devi, the reflection of Rama Devi. So there's Rama Devi, that's his internal potency, and there's Chaya Devi, who's the reflection of his internal potency. She's likened in Sri Brahma Samhita to a maidservant, or also in Sri Brahma Samhita to a co-wife. And the Lord is desiring to give her some service. He knows that she's wanting some service, and she's just in this pradhan state of doing nothing. And she wants some service. That's one. So he wants to give her some service. And another is a feeling of insufficiency. This is the Supreme Lord feeling something's not complete. And that something that's not complete is, there's all these living entities within his body that he wishes to be engaged with them in loving exchanges, but they have all these now suspended and dormant material desires. He wants to give them an opportunity to come back to him in loving service. These two things. Then comes his Icha Shakti. It's a little technical, bear with me. But our teaching is, everything is done by the Lord through his potencies. And there's different potencies. But those different potencies rest upon one, Icha, or his will, his desire. And from his desire, voila, so many things happen. He doesn't have to do anything. He just desires something. And all of his energies are tuned into the Krishna channel. They know his desires, and off they go, doing his bidding, fulfilling his will. So he glances at Pradhan, or Chaya Devi, this manifestation, reflection of his internal potency. So there's this internal potency, Rama, and the external potency, in different names according to the different stages or functions, but his external potency, for simplicity's sake. And he just glances. Brahma, this is described now in Sri Brahma Samhita, she understands her Lord's desire, so she assists the internal potency, assists fulfilling the ichā, the desire of the Supreme Lord, and she entrusts some of her internal potencies to the glance. The glance is Shambhu. And two primary, and so many other ones, but the two primary ones are his intention, that's ichā, and the force of activity, kriya shakti. And so, zoom, there goes the glance of the Supreme Lord carrying time energy, his will, and the force of activity. So it's not like, you know, I can look at the clock and it's, so what? You know, it's nothing. But when the Lord looks at something, it's something happens. So ichā and kriya shaktis, these two primary, and they're divisions of kala shakti, time energy. Because that's just unpacking a bit, that's something that said, when the Lord glances, there's two, the living entities, along with his glance, and time energy. The time energy has these two things. Things don't happen without time. Things in this realm don't happen without time. Or time makes things happen. And time has subdivisions, the Lord's will, and the force of activity. And then, of course, living entities who are carrying their dormant desires. And with their dormant desires, karma accumulated from, you know, reactions from previous stuff they did, and the desire to do other things. That's their makeup of their karma. But it's not active yet. So there's this, the will of the Supreme Lord. Now the living entities, I'm going to make a connection between the will of the Supreme Lord and the will of the living entities. Because we're tiny parts of the Supreme, we also have very little, but some free will. We have free will. Where do we direct that free will? This is speaking about matir, where the free will is awarded, when directed towards the Supreme Lord, is awarded with mati, spiritual intelligence, how to go to Krishna. To go to Krishna and how to go to Krishna. That's what that's talking about. So behind that is the will of a living entity. Just as behind creation, there's the will of the Supreme Lord. What does he want? He wants living entities to come back to him. But they can say, no. I'm having a nice time over here. Well, he's trying to have a nice time over here. Well, you know, got to take the good with the bad over here. You know, fruitive activity, stuck. Birth after birth after birth after birth, and knocked down and stand up and get knocked down and stand up and get smashed again and keep going at it like donkeys. Then there's the intelligent. The intelligence, what does Krishna say in the 15th chapter, text 15, about the 10th chapter I mentioned? Krishna gives the intelligence. Krishna also gives remembrance. Why does Krishna give this smritis? Because he sees the living entities, they may be, you know, in a circumstance, we may be in a circumstance that is distracting, you know, so many ways distracting, harassment kind, or trouble kind, or discomfort kind, or the pain of death, or the fear of, you know, whatever's going on, some kind of something that's drawing our attention away. But this mati, when the living entity is guided by the intelligence given by Krishna to go to him, nothing can check it. In the purport, Prabhupada is speaking about the accumulation of that. You know, because the Lord in the previous verses already said, you now have developed, I came to show myself to you so that you'll have some increased desire for me. And because of that increased desire for me, your material desires will dissipate. So that's what's happening in our lives in devotional service. We were walking along being, you know, fools in some dark place. Something happened. Somebody came along and said, hey, check it out. Here's a Bhagavad Gita. And so on. Here's associate. Come on over to the Sunday program. Whatever it was. Something. Some mercy, some light comes into that place of darkness. I was attending a class in New York City one time when Srila Prabhupada was describing about his own. And we can take it as that's like us. He said, I was loitering in this material world in some dark corner, and my spiritual master sought me out and made my life of misfortune fortunate. And then he instructed me. You've probably heard me say this one before. He instructed me, you go and make the lives of others fortunate. Jai Prabhupada. And so I have come to your country to make you all fortunate. And now I am instructing you. You go forward and make others fortunate. Now, who are we to make others fortunate? Other than the order of the spiritual master. That's all. We don't have anything. We're look at us. We're destitute. But the order of the spiritual master is strong. That's this mud anugrahat. That's the by my mercy. Mud anugrahat. By my mercy, this Smritis will come. And the Smritis is provided for those who tesham evanukam partam. Those who are striving, we're making a sincere effort to try to receive the mercy. That we were just walking along and suddenly it just came into our life. And we didn't really know what to do with it. Said, oh, this is nice. But if you, with a grateful heart, receive and take a look at what it is that the opportunity that's being given to us for no good reason other than causeless mercy. Somebody is kind. The disciplic succession and the force of the order of the disciplic succession to go make others fortunate came into our life. It's the force of that descending mercy came into our life. If we recognize what that gift is, as said in the previous verse, to become one of the Lord's eternal associates. My goodness. That's where the train is going. Get on board. So that there's something that we need to do. We need to two things. We need to make some effort. We need to receive the mercy, let the mercy enter the heart, and feel something like gratitude. Wow. And then once you feel that gratitude, then you do something with that gratitude. You reciprocate. Exactly what happened with Narada. He received this mercy from the Bhaktivedantas. He was a good recipient. He felt something. And they showed more mercy and more mercy, and then everything went away. They went away, his mother went away, there was nothing. No father, no mother, little boy. But he had something. And he applied that something. He abided with that something. And then the Lord appeared and then disappeared. And then he's speaking to him, saying, I've done this so that you will, your desire for me, your desire for me will increase. There are things that happen in our life coming from Krishna so that our desire for him will increase. It's colorful. It's like very variegated. We each have our stories of how something happens to help us increase our desire for him. Cherish that. Cultivate that. Nourish that. Feel it. Act on it. And gradually, as this morning's purport is describing, a cumulative effect will be there. That is, it's not just punya, it's not the material thing, it's the attraction for Krishna, and with that, the detachment from stuff. Fruitive activities and speculative knowledge stuff. The whole basket of it. Detachment and attachment to become engaged in an eternal relationship with the personality of Godhead. And gradually, that qualification grows. And the abundant disqualification fades. So that we can be situated in our relationship with Krishna. And this verse is saying, this is the last of the verses spoken by the Lord. He is saying that remembrance comes by my mercy. And I'm telling you, by my mercy, even all this, whatever happens that's so revolutionary during creation or annihilation of the whole universe. Not just like death, but annihilation of the whole universe. That remembrance will remain. I'm giving you my promise. Why? Because you have this mati. And how did you get the mati? You got it from me. But you got it from me because of the association of the Bhaktivedantas, whose association you greatly appreciated, took it within your heart, and cultivated that which they gave you. So then I gave you this buddhi or mati, dridha mati. And it's very strong. So behind that is this ichha. It's how do we use our free will? What do we want? And if we've heard the message properly, we change from the Maya channel to the Krishna channel. From the external energy channel to the internal energy channel. And externally, they may look the same to somebody that isn't spiritually educated. We're doing stuff like people are doing stuff. But the consciousness behind them changes. If we're applying things properly. So it's what do we want? What's our desire? What's our will? Like you ask a child, what do you want to be when you grow up? So ask yourself, where do I want to be at the time of death? Say you're, so many years old. 62 years old, this Rupa Sanatan. Or, older. Say 80 years old, if you lived that long. If you're 80 years old. What would you like things to be like when you're 80 years old? And isn't it dependent upon what you do today that it's going to be determine that? When you're meeting the time of death, do you want your consciousness to be absorbed in Krishna? And that you're fully happy in the kirtan, in Vrindavan, etc., 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 you know, with the voice of your spiritual master encouraging you, extending, all of those things. Is that where you want to be? Or you want to be, oh, I didn't fulfill this, and I'm attached to that, and I'm still struggling, and what we do today is going to determine what's going to happen tomorrow. Especially consciousness. Not, we can't control the external things, but consciousness. So, and that's dependent upon mercy, madanugrahat. He's ready. In the case of Narada, he's more than ready. He's like, okay, you're certified. Now, we're hearing that so that we can prepare ourselves to be ready. But he's willing. That's the message. We're not Narada. We're like small fries. We're little insignificant specks. But the mercy of the Supreme Lord applies for everyone. The willingness of the Supreme Lord to give that is there. It's all happening through the agency of his various energies. So it's not like we're burdening him or something. He's got to do some extra lifting because, you know, we're asking for some help. It's not like that. It's just his icha. And his energies do everything. Okay, my eye's on the clock, and I'll stop here to see if there's some discussion. Yes?
Maharaj, in an attempt to cherish the mercy and be grateful, the obstacle which I face right now is to realize the lack of spiritual realization that I'm tiny.
That you're what?
That I'm tiny.
That you're tiny.
Yes, Maharaj.
You want some, like, reminder or some a hammer or something to help you understand that you're tiny?
Yes, Maharaj, in the normal routine...
Huh?
In the normal routine day work, the life, it is absolutely forgotten. And the otherwise, that I am something that is predominant.
That's Maya. And so, hit the pause button and turn to the Krishna channel. It's really that simple. And then comes the yeah, but. Yeah, but Maharaj, you know... It's that simple. So, it all starts in the bead bag. How you perform your chanting every day, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu indicates, Trinadapi Sunicha. So, you cultivate. There's nothing more powerful than that one. I can say a number of things that will be helpful, but there's nothing more powerful than that for accomplishing what you just asked. Staying fixed in the consciousness that I'm this tiny insignificant speck. You combine, it's Lord Chaitanya's teaching. He's the giver of love of God. Freely giving. And there's some instruction that will help you receive it. That's a very powerful instruction. So powerful, he said, wear it all the time. Around your neck like an ornament. This verse. Cultivate it in the course of chanting the holy name. And then, in turn, how you live your life. See yourself in relation to Krishna, not in relation to the fruitive task in front of you. The Krishna channel, instead of the other one. I'll give a second answer, and I heard this second answer when I was a very new devotee. Then I found out later that Prabhupada said the same thing both in the East Coast in New York and in the West Coast, California, to two different devotees. So the story that I heard in New York was that the Prabhupada was on a morning walk with three devotees. Brahmananda, Gargamuni, and Sasarup Maharaj. And Brahmananda was a big devotee. I mean, physically big, but also he was carrying a lot of responsibility, and, you know, everyone came to him for everything, so he was a big devotee. So to do it quick because of time, they were in lower Manhattan, big buildings, walking along the street, and Brahmananda said to Prabhupada, "How do we remain humble? I'm getting all this service and all this praise and recognition, and you know, how do we remain humble?" Prabhupada put his cane down on the sidewalk and said, "In the spiritual world," he just did this whole picture, "there's an unlimitedly vast spiritual sky. In that unlimitedly vast spiritual sky, there is Krishna and Radha in Goloka Vrindavan, the largest of all the spiritual planets in the spiritual world. Over in some corner of the vastness of the unlimited spiritual sky, there's a cloud of material energy called the Mahatattva. Within that Mahatattva, a portion of a plenary portion of Krishna is lying as Mahavishnu. From the pores of the body of Mahavishnu, unlimited universes are coming. And one of those unlimited universes is this universe. And in this vast universe, there's so many planets. One of those planets is the Earth planet. You get the idea. And in this Earth planet, there are seven continents. One of them is North America. In North America, there's the United States. Amongst the 50 United States, one of them is New York State. In New York State, there's one city called New York City with millions and millions of people. And in that New York City, there's one place called Manhattan. One part of New York City. And one part of New York City in the Lower East Side, there's Brahmananda who's saying, "How do I think of myself as humble?" The reality is you're insignificant. And his answer was, "Yes, Prabhupada, I'm insignificant." So we get caught up in the moment of fruitive activity. And reality disappears and illusion takes over and we get caught up. Illusion. Saying, "Oh, how do I stay humble?" Spiritual what?
Intelligence.
Spiritual intelligence.
Not being thwarted or blocked.
Not being thwarted or blocked. After many years of devotion, somebody leaves devotional service. What happened?
After, in this life,
yeah.
After many years, they get that remembrance.
Get which remembrance?
How do we understand?
This one?
No, a devotee from last lifetime, in this lifetime, after many years, he remembers that spiritual intelligence. So how do we understand that it's not checked or blocked? Like after 20 years, he just comes to an understanding or...
Did you hear his question? Yes? No. After 20 years, someone starts devotional service. 20 years passes, and then the light goes on. Here's some remembrance of Krishna. So how, if that's, with that depiction, how is it that we can say that remembrance is not blocked? And then the converse, somebody's a materialist, goes through his whole career, then he just, you know, does a U-turn and suddenly he's becoming Krishna conscious.
How is it not blocked?
You know the answer, you're just giving me something to speak about. Svalpam apyasya dharmasya trayate mahatobaya. That's the reference that Prabhupada is speaking of from Bhagavad Gita. It's not a zero or a one. It's gradations. Like, you know, many switches, there is, I learned this, it's called the rocker arm switch. A zero or a one, off or on. And then there's a dimmer switch. So it degrees. So remembrance is degrees, or the accumulation of devotional service is like the dimmer switch. So supposing somebody goes along for some time and they forget Krishna, like, you know, circumstantial, or they just decide, you know, I'm taking a vacation from devotional service and I'm going to go, you know, hang out with Maya for a while. So their remembrance and their intelligence becomes covered but not lost.